my way. We'll just have a word of prayer as you're all standing. Father, we find ourselves unworthy to worship you, but we're so blessed to be able to share what you've done in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for working in our lives. Thank you for the young people that have been able to experience your presence in their life. Thank you for forgiving our sin and cleansing our conscience. And most of all, Lord, bringing your divine life within our human life. Thank you. Lord, as we're gathered together, we feel our need that you would speak to us and that you would guide and lead this service. And Lord, we do not understand what all your purposes are, but as you've laid things on our heart, we pray that there would be offering up or a giving up of maybe some of our wills here, or maybe even yielding of our lives to you in yet a fuller way. So thank you for each and every soul that is here. And Lord, would you lead us to gather closer to you? Would this service have the freedom to accomplish your will in our lives, Lord Jesus? In your worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is with joy that we greet each one of you this morning. Our heart goes to the fathers here. This morning I think of these scriptures. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The word honor here means to esteem or to respect. And I think we all want to do that this morning, not just this morning, but every day that God allows us to continue to honor and thank God for the fathers in our life. Fathers, we want to encourage you to continue to find the strength to be a true father to your family. That means to lead them in the ways of truth. Those are precious thoughts. To teach them what is sin. To lead them to light from darkness. Fathers, God has made us and He's equipped us. And we're here to sacrifice and to give our lives as best we can for our families, for our children, for our wives. That we would protect them. That we would keep them from harm. That we would lead them the right way. Thank you, fathers, for all the times you've done this. And may God help you continue to be a father. That is what God is to us. May we be able to, in our minds, understand all the things that God does for us, even though He does so many things for us that we could never understand. We never realize all the things He does. But may that give us, fathers, a glimpse of what we are to be for our families. And may that be a guiding role and principle in our lives, fathers, to be fathers. Well, this morning we have a subject before us. That we would rather not discuss. There's many times in my life that I've wished there wasn't a hell. And may our lives never come to the point where when someone enters eternity and we know there's not much hope for them, May our hearts never be so hard that it doesn't shake us to the core. The thought of one soul entering this eternal torment and how we will have all the needs we have in our physical body, we will have in hell. Here, when it's a little warm, we turn the air on, or we start a fan. When we're hungry, we can get something to eat many times. When we're thirsty, we can get water. When there's pain, we have a way to find comfort. In hell, we will have those same physical needs, and we'll have no way. It will be impossible to satisfy any of those, to bring any comfort to any of those physical needs in any way. God is a loving God. He doesn't tell us about hell with the intent that we live in terror and fear of Him. He doesn't do that. I see God as so loving and so gracious, but yet He would have all men to know that there are two ways in this our day. I so appreciated that song this morning. I'd like to just turn to Matthew there and just read a few of those chapters, but I do want to finish my thought here. God is not the type of God that He is not teaching us about hell. How can I say this so that we live? He's not wanting us to. He's not wanting. Maybe I want to watch how I say this here. But He does want each one to be aware of the two ways and the ends. The end of them being heaven and hell. We could just read just maybe here. And my thoughts are not as clear here on that subject as they had been, or as far as. The reason for God teaches us about hell, and He tells us who will go there and who won't. But I don't see Him here forcing us or doing things to make sure we go to hell. No, how can I say this here? I want us to see God. So we have a picture of hell in our minds, and sometimes people have the picture of God. That God is really so holy that whoever He can, so He wants everyone that He can, He wants them all to be put into hell. But that's really the opposite picture. God's just the opposite. We have hell here. And God is trying to keep everyone from going to hell. And that is important, that we see God the way He truly is. Maybe we can share more on that later. But I want us to see God's heart rightly as we think of this subject. He works with the church, and He does miraculous things. And His heart is that no one goes to hell. Hell wasn't created for any of us. It was not made for us. And it's a tragedy when any human that is born goes to hell. That was not why God created mankind. He did not create mankind to populate hell. And there's not a need that anyone should go there. It is with great desire and with great miracles that God sometimes works to try to keep people from going there. That is His heart. But Matthew chapter 7 here, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it." Now, there's a lot said here, and these two verses are packed with words, and they're packed with things. It's talking about the straight gate. It's like the broad way it leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There's a lot here. The foundation of our heart this morning that we want to make sure we lay is the importance of serving God with humility and voluntarily. But it's important that we serve God because we love Him more than anything else. And that we do it voluntarily and with humility. The purpose of the message this morning is to not force anyone to serve God. And to not, how can we say this? We want God to do that in your life. But I don't. The purpose is not to scare you to heaven. It is important that we have the foundation of our lives that we voluntarily choose in humility to serve God. That foundation is important as we consider this subject. As God says in His Word in Exodus, this is God's heart. He, in showing mercy unto thousands of them that love Me and keep My commandments, that we serve Him voluntarily and with humility and love for Him. Acting by choice, this is what I want. Living for God, that we'd have that foundation in every area of our life and that would be our motivating thing. That is not, I just want to make it clear, the intent and purpose of the thoughts this morning are not wrong, I don't think, but that we would consider this foundation in our lives and deepen it to voluntarily yield and serve God in humility. My heart is that these words on hell would deepen our reverence for God. And we trust that somehow God will use them in a small way to understand that there is a terror in the Lord. And the ungodly will face that terror. And we would not that anyone here would have to face this terror of the Lord and without being prepared and without having Jesus Christ as their righteous one and His righteousness in their lives. Luke chapter 12, verse 5, if you have your Bibles this morning. This is our heart. We want these words to deepen our fear and reverence for God. As His Word says, and starting in verse 4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." We trust that God will do that this morning in all of our hearts as we consider this subject, that He would continue to work this in our lives. I said what I did this morning about hell, and many times wishing there was no place like hell. But this is where we bow our hearts and lives to one that is far, far greater than we are. We don't understand what all the purpose and reasons were that God created hell. But I had to think, as I thought of that, what would even life here on earth be like if there was no place like hell? Everyone knows, even the ungodly, they know. And deep down, I think they believe that there is a hell. They can say they don't, but it's almost like it's part of our makeup. We know right from wrong, and we know that there's justification for the wrong that we do. So even just think of how I think is meant to be a blessing. I think of even some of the spirits that we face as we go through life, and some of the hatred, and some of these things. What would it be like to spend eternity with hate and all these things, and stealing, and all of these things? What would it be like to spend eternity with people like that? And so it's the goodness of God, and that His purposes are beyond what we can even consider, and how He's created heaven, and how He's created hell. And in His loving kindness, He tells us about these places in His Word. And He desires that we would choose Him in His way, but He is not here forcing us to do that. I have to think of this passage of Scripture here in Matthew 25. I had some opening thoughts on my heart that I don't have a whole lot. Most of what this is on my heart here today, and it seemed like there's some things that I forgot to mention here. Maybe God will bring them back to me here. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 25 and read a portion of Scripture there. Yeah, let's just read from Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 to 46. We'll read it here and maybe make some comments. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Notice the fire here. There's teaching that says that hell is not eternal or everlasting, that it will be for a time and a season, and then it will be no more. Well, Jesus clearly teaches that it is everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This also tells us who hell was really prepared for. Hell was originally prepared for the devil and his angels when they rebelled in heaven. They were cast out, and God prepared hell for them. Then he goes on, he says, For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. These are amazing words here, and they teach us more things about hell that I've pointed out, that it's eternal. And it also says here, and as much as he did it not to the least of one of these, he did it not to me. As we serve others, we're serving Christ. And I think it's important that we do that. As we said earlier, it's important that we picture God. God wants no one to go there. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and bring some scripture to that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? Here we see God's heart, if I can say it right. God is trying to keep as many as possible from going to hell. It is not his will that any should perish, but he would that all should come to him and have eternal life. May we be assured of that today. So, hell, the place or state of punishment for the wicked after death. You know, I picture hell in my mind, and I'm sure it's different, and I'm sure it's worse. But if you picture the ocean, and you picture 30-foot waves, I'm sure you've seen pictures of that. But you picture it as fire, and you know I've marveled if when you go out and you light a little fire, and it's close to a tree. It doesn't take much of a fire, and pretty soon, even leaves and branches that are way up above, they start moving, and it's amazing. It seems like there's not much heat or not much force from that fire, and it's even a small fire, but it doesn't take much that starts moving the branches and the leaves. And I had to think of, so we have this big bottomless lake of fire is what it's called. The Bible teaches us that it's bottomless. So think of what it feels like when we're constantly falling falling and falling. And you think of this big mass of fire, this waves of fire. Think of the ocean, 30-foot waves. And here are all these people, and they fall. And I have to think, maybe it's the force of the fire that just every once in a while forces them back up to the top and they fall again. But the Bible is really clear here in Revelations. We'll read it later. It says it's a bottomless. It's not like you go down and you go to the bottom and you sink there and you stay. It says there's no bottom. We can't fathom that. The picture, all of these people, and we know what it feels like to burn when we burn ourselves, our finger just a little bit. It hurts for several days. And here they're in fire. And they're sinking down, and the force of the fire forces them back up, and they just keep going in circles and riding these waves of flames. And it's not just for a minute or a day. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. It has no end. Brothers and sisters, it moves me to tears. I can't imagine how horrible it is for someone to be in hell forever. I don't have the capability to stand up here and put into words how horrible it is. It's absolutely horrible. And to think that it's absolutely not necessary that anyone goes there, but hell is called a pit. The Bible, there's so many scriptures. There's so much the Bible has to say about hell. There's so many points. I haven't attempted to cover them all in any way today. I'm just trying to share some of the things that God is laying on my heart here as we share. But hell, and the Bible says, is prepared for the devil and his angels. And I think in Revelations, then maybe we'll read it later, it talks about death and hell. It talks about death. What does it say? Maybe we'll read it later. Death and destruction being cast into hell. We'll look at that a little bit later. I think I have the scripture down here. But sin is the beginning of hell here on earth. And sin, if it's not repented of, if we don't free ourselves from sin, if we don't become overcomers, as was testified here this morning, that is where sin will take us. It is the one thing that we know that will be in hell. I wish I had more of the scriptures memorized. But sin is the beginning of hell. Isn't that amazing? Hell is eternal. It will never stop. Now let's go to Luke chapter 16. And we're not going to be long here today. Luke chapter 16, let's start in verse 19. Can everyone just stand a little bit? Is everyone here with me? Why don't we just stand here a little bit as we read this scripture here at least. Luke 16, let's start in verse 19. And this has so many, this account here has so much that could be talked about when it comes to hell. But let's slowly read it and let's allow God to speak to us here. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his feet, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Here's the one. He had eyes, he could see, and he was in torment. And this word torment, I wish I would have looked it up. But I think it's probably a nice word for excruciating, unbearable pain, torment. But it proves here from Scripture that is going to be in hell, is torment. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Here's the The other thing we can take from this passage is there is no water in hell. And cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now here again, just from these scriptures, the most horrible thing I think about hell is that once you're there, there's no way out. There's not going to be another chance to repent. There's not going to be another chance to accept Jesus Christ. There's not going to be another chance to make things right. There's no way out. There's a great gulf fixed. And there's no way out. That is, I think, the most terrible, horrible thing about hell. And we can hardly relate to that. Everything that we have is but a season. Maybe we cut ourselves and we have pain. It's just for a season. We're not used to the finality of this state and this condition. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. His thought went immediately to his friend, to his closest family, if I can say it right here. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And my dear brothers and sisters, we now have one that rose from the dead, Jesus Christ. And may we give our life to him. Unreserved, unhesitatingly, may we offer our lives to him. You can be seated. Proverbs 27. I'd like to read us. Here's the passage that the Lord laid the text burden on my heart. The text here, we want to just briefly discuss. I'm not going to. We don't plan on going on a long time here today on this subject. We have no way of covering all that could be said about this in any way. But Proverbs 27, verse 20 here says, hell and destruction are never full. And I think you can take it both ways. This is where I get the title of my message. Hell is never satisfied. Hell is never full. It seems like, you know, that's something else that we're not used to in life. You know, you get a pitcher of water and you fill the glass. Well, the glass is full. And you go here and you do this and it ends up being full. But this is saying that sadly there's going to be room for everyone that chooses to go there. And sadly, there's never going to be contentment. There's never going to be joy. There's never going to be any kind of peace or harmony. Hell will never be satisfied in any way. There's not only is it room for all, it can never be filled up. It is never content. It is never satisfied. There will continue to be want there. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied, Proverbs teaches us here, and how true that is. Now, Psalm 19 has a passage here on how that I thought I'd like to read, if we're close. Psalm 19, Psalm 9, verse 17. I'm saying it wrong, I'm sorry. Psalm 9, verse 17. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. That's who's going to hell, is the wicked. the people that hate God, the people that despise God, the people that don't love God. I had to think of the scripture and all those that love His appearing. Maybe that's a message we could preach at a later time. But may our hearts and lives be at a point where we love His appearing. But the wicked will be turned into hell. The evil, the sinners, the ungodly, those who refuse to repent, those who denied God, they will be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. Hell is a place where everyone is doing their own thing. And that's a far-reaching principle even here in our life. Individualism can be fully expressed in hell. But brothers and sisters, may that not be our heart. Self-will. Self-will will lead us to hell. There's a scripture here in 2 Peter I'd like to read. 2 Peter verse 10. Sorry, I'm going too fast here. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 10, if I can say it rightly here. It says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. I'm afraid, my dear brothers and sisters, that those who practice and love self-will here on earth will be able to express it to its fullness in hell. That is what you have in hell, is everyone doing what they want, doing their own thing. Someone, self-will is someone who is inconsiderate of others, asserts his own will, has his own self-interest, obstinate and stubborn. Are part of that definition. A principle of hell is, I am my own. I can do what I want. No one is going to tell me what to do. And I'm afraid that it reaches even and affects our lives in this our day here on earth. So may we be willing to surrender our lives to one another and to God Himself. I had to think that there's many different lies and many different theories and many different things taught about hell. There's many visions, many different things said, and we do not know how to... We leave all those with the Lord and His Word. But it does seem like many times those trying to prove there is no hell usually have a reason for doing so. There's usually a purpose behind trying to prove that there is no hell. And the purpose normally is that they themselves know they're going there. Let's go to Revelations here. Revelations chapter 9 and read a few scriptures. Revelations has a lot to say about hell. I think we'll just read from verse 1. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 to 9. We'll just read here. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. Smoke. We haven't talked yet of the sulfur and the smoke. What does it take to have a fire? I had to think of Moses and the burning bush, and the bush that would never quit, the bush wouldn't burn up. And it's in a small way, it's how will never burn, it will never consume anything. So it's almost like there has to be what type of fire, what kind of fuel, what will continue to fuel that fire forever and ever and ever, and the smoke and the sulfur and the torment. He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit. And as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. Think about it. Think about what it's saying here. The sun and the air were darkened by the smoke that came out of this pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men
which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were like crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. Breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running to the battle. Now, it almost seems like I put the wrong reference down here. I think I did have the wrong reference down here, but anyway, the revelations in different places here calls. That's where we want to go. Let's just go ahead now and go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. I think I'm remembering that reference. I think we'll just start in verse 11 here, in chapter 20 of Revelations. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. Doesn't that give you a beautiful picture? From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. The earth and the heaven fled away from his face. Can you imagine that? And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, it's a bottomless pit. It talks about it being a bottomless pit here in Revelation several times. Has no bottom. A depth, I think another message is, it's a depth that cannot be measured. Who can know how great the lake of fire is? Who can know how horrible it is? Who can know how painful? Who can know? Truly, it's only those that in their heart hate God and deny Him and refuse to honor Him with their lives that God wants to put in the lake of fire. Matthew 5:22 is a scripture I have down here. But we'll read it. Yeah, this is a scripture I thought I should read. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Also in verse 29 here, we'll just keep reading. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. There's several scriptures that we could go to, yeah, and we possibly should for hell here. Let's go to Mark chapter 9, verse 43. verse 43 to 48. It's almost the same. It's kind of the same thing that I just read here. But I guess we'll read it here. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. We've heard different people give their different theories of what the worm is. But I think we'll leave that here. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So, God's word tells us about this place, this lake of fire, this horrible place. And may we allow godly fear in our hearts to continue to help us to surrender our lives to Him, to build our lives upon a foundation of voluntary humility, voluntary service and humility for Him, if I can say it rightly here. Verse 23 of Jude says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Hell, death and hell. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure there's much that's left from my thoughts here today that should have been included. But I had to think of hell and serving Satan. Hell is the highest reward the devil has to offer his servants. What a deceiver. What a liar. What a reward. The reward for serving and enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season is hell. Hell. Now, I know that sometimes there are sensitive consciences, and my heart is not to put fear in them. But it seems like it doesn't work well to serve God out of fear of going to hell. It seems like it needs to be a deeper love for God than that. And so I had to think of this scripture here in Job. It says, "Even though he slay me, I will serve him." And so I think it's important in our lives as we look to the Lord that we serve him wholeheartedly and that we leave our eternal destiny into his hand. We serve a God that has immense integrity, and there is no way that he will cast someone away, that he will cast someone into hell that has come to him in repentance and has completely given their lives to him and is serving and building their lives on his word as best as they can. God will in no way cast someone like that away. But I think it's important that we come to him with this attitude of we're going to serve God and leave our eternal destiny in his hands. And with his integrity, and he will not fail us. But let us serve him out of love, and voluntarily out of love, because of how deeply we love him for what he has done for us. I think of the verse there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 that we could read. "Faith which worketh by love," it says there. So today, if you're here today, and you know that you're not right with God, and you know that God is speaking to you, I have this little account here that I'd like to read. And then I'd like to offer you the opportunity to come forward if God is speaking to you in any way. There was a young woman that was dying. And she said to her father, "Father, why did you not tell me there's such a place as hell?" The father said, "Jenny, there is no such place as hell. God is a merciful and loving God. There will be no suffering for anyone in the future. There is no place as hell." Jenny said, "I know better, Father. I am dying, and my feet are slipping into hell at this very moment. I am lost. Why did you not tell me that there was such a place as hell. If you're here today and you know that if you died today, if you died now, that you would go to hell, I want to encourage you to not leave this building that way. Please don't. There's no reason. Hell was not made for anyone of us. Hell was not created for any human. It's only the ungodly, the unwillful, the sinners, the ungodly, that God will cast into hell. But we want to offer a hymn here, Brother Zach. We want to give you the opportunity to come forward. If God is speaking to your heart today, I know it was somewhat of an imperfect message. There's many other details that could be shared about it. But may God use it in His own way. Please don't leave today if you know that your life is leading you and that you're slipping into hell at this moment if you was to die. So may God help you to come to Him.